Today, man, we're gonna talk about obedience. We've got a couple weeks in between now and the next series. Ended up being, I thought it was 2 weeks, but it ends up being 3 weeks. So we'll have another standalone next week before we start a new series in a couple of weeks. And how many of you enjoyed and listened to the word that Aaron put out last week about dead faith? Man, it was amazing. He did a good job. It was a good word for many different reasons in my life, but I hope you listened to it. And if you didn't get to, go back and listen to it. It was very, very good. And this week we're going to talk about obedience. I mean, you know, we really love obedience when it has to deal with other people, right? Like, I really want y'all to be obedient, right? But when it comes time for me to be obedient, I'm not so happy about all of that all the time, right? So, I had this dog. Y'all ready? I'm going to talk about my favorite dog. His name was Jake. He was a boxer pit mix. He was 96 pounds of muscle, and he was a house dog, inside dog. And he was very, very obedient. He was like, I could tell him to do this. I could tell him to sit. I could tell him to roll over. I could tell him to do all these things. And as long as the end result was a treat or a belly rub or something, he was down with obeying, right? But when it came to getting in his crate, because we were leaving to go somewhere because we put him in his crate, when it came to that, obedience escaped him. Why? Because he wasn't happy about the end result of that obedience. How many of you know we do exactly like Jake does with God's word? If the obedience brings about a good end, right? We're happy about doing it. We're content. And I had somebody tell me that. I was like, dude, he's an amazing, because they were like, pit bulls are bad and all this. Look, that's a whole other topic, and we can get into that. That's not the case, but we can get into that if you want to. Jake was an amazing dog, right? But in them trying to argue about how he was going to turn on me because that was his nature, right? Because that's the nature of a pit, people say. That because one day I was going to make him do something and he wasn't going to be obedient and I was going to be regretful for it, right? So in saying all that, why am I saying that? The principle is this: our nature is not to be obedient, right? We were born with that. Again, as a kid, we talk about it all the time. As a kid, we're geared to not be obedient, right? Adam and Eve, going on down the line, you go to all these different people. Today, I'm going to talk about, we're going to follow three storylines. How many of you hate TV shows where they have three different storylines going on all at the same time? If you're that person, today, you're not going to enjoy as much, okay? Because we're going to look at three different people. We're going to look at some statements and about how those statements are true in all of those stories. And then hopefully you'll be able to take these principles and relate them to your life. Amen? That's our goal. That's our plan. That's my desire. Obedience is, by definition, compliance with an order, a request, or law. Or this is what we're going to talk about today. Or submission to another's authority. Submission to another's authority. Right? Obedience is a difficult thing. We read all through the scriptures. So I looked up scriptures about obedience in the Bible, and there was 40 on obedience here and 40 on obedience here and this many about obedience here and all through. And I picked out just a couple that I'm going to read. Why I picked them out, I have no clue. But maybe because I needed to hear them, I don't know. 1 Peter 1:14 says, as obedient children, how many of you want your children to be obedient? Right? As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. What does that mean? That means leave the childish things behind us and be obedient. How many of you know it's very childish to be disobedient, right? Okay, y'all are not. Y'all, like, there's like two of y'all that are talking to me this morning, and I got a lot of stuff to say, and y'all need to pick it up a little bit, all right? There we go. I like it. If it gets too out of hand, I'll be like, all right, calm down, y'all. Calm down. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said to him, whoever loves me will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. How many of you know obedience brings about some very amazing things in our life? And today we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how obedience brings some negative things in our life as well. And you're like, no, there's no negative stuff to obedience. No, there is. And we're gonna look at it. Now, number one in your notes, we're going to start off with that, is in a lot of instances, in a lot of things, obedience does not make sense. Obedience doesn't make sense. And like I said, we're going to look at three things. Who does it not make sense to? First of all, the world, right? The gospel's foolishness to those who don't believe, right? So when we start to conform our lives to what God wants us to do and what God wants us to be, how many of you know the world looks at us and is like, you're an idiot, right? They might say it a little bit nicer than that, but that's what they're saying without saying it, right? The other thing is our family a lot of times, depending on whether they understand God or know God or not. If we decide to step out in a certain way, or if God called us to do certain things and we decide to step out and to go and do those things, and then our family looks at us like, that's dumb. Why are you doing that? Well, you know, if we understood the full plan of God in our life, we might not call some things dumb. Fellow Christians, again, look at our lives. Like, why on earth would you do that? Because one of the things about obedience is it makes us step out of our comfort zone. Amen. It makes us uncomfortable a lot of times, most times. Look in the scripture. You say, where do you get that? Look in the scripture, man. All these people were not comfortable with what God called and asked them to do. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. And then the last person that it doesn't make sense to a lot of times is ourselves. I mean, you know. God calls me to do something, I'm like, wait, what? What did you say? I'm not sure about that. And we're going to look at that in three guys, and I'm going to read some scripture real quick. We're going to go through it because I don't want to keep you guys forever, but I want to get through all of this, so you need to listen fast. Genesis 12, 1 through 4, God calls Abram. He says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your kindred, and your father's house to a land that I will show you. Then he says, and I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Then he says, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. All right, so that's one person we see that it doesn't make sense. All right, you have an inheritance. Inheritance and family in the Jewish culture was everything, right? Everything. So for God to tell him, hey, take what you got and go, and when you get there, I'm going to tell you you're there. Like, can you give me, like, do I go east? Like what? Like what direction do I go? Like, he didn't say any of that. He said, go. When you get there, I'll show you that you're there. So I don't know very many people. Like, I know, okay, I have some really good friends in Louisiana. We just hung out with them in Tennessee, the Contreras, like Ronnie and Michelle, all right? They will get in their car on a Saturday and just drive, right? And when they get somewhere, they'll stop like, well, let's just stop here tonight. I'm like, okay, but like, where are you going? Like, I don't know, just wherever we go. Those are the only people I know that like to do that. Like, I don't know anybody. How many of you like to plan? You like to plan? You like to be like, okay, I'm going here. We've got the money to do this. We're going to stay here. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. This is what we're going to do. How many of you are that person? Only, how many of you are not that person? You like to just leave and not know where you're going. So it's half and half in here, man. I am not that person. Like, I got my GPS. Like, where are we going to go, right? Shane, we were talking about that with camping yesterday. It's like, guys going to camp. It's like, well, what campground are we going to? We're like, we're not. But we're camping. Like, yes, but it's not a campground. Like, what do you mean it's not a campground? There's not toilets and all that. Like, no. Like, you're a guy. We're going to the woods. Come on. Right? Like, I don't know if I want to do that or not. I don't know what's out there, right? There's people that are like that. I'm like that sometimes, right? And this is God calling Abraham and saying, dude, leave everything you got and go. Just go. Get away from here and go. And when you get there, I'll be like, all right, you're there. Look. This is the funny thing. The Israelites knew where they were going, and it still took them 40 years to get there, right? Like, maybe if they didn't know where they were going, they would have got there sooner. I don't know, but it's one of those things. To most people, that doesn't make any sense. Leave your mom, your dad, leave your inheritance, leave the stuff that you have, and go to this place. And when you get there, I'll tell you you're there. Doesn't make sense. I'm sure his family had questions and problems like, why? What are you doing? What are you thinking? That's crazy. Why would you do that? Where are you going to go? Is it really smart not to have a plan? Right? I had somebody tell me that one time I was leaving the church. I said, man, I just feel like God's sending us someplace else. There's not an issue or a problem. I just feel like we're supposed to go someplace else. And I was sitting down, and he was sitting across his desk, and he said, do you really think it's wise to go somewhere and not know where you're going? And I was like, he's not a bad guy. It was just him trying to help me, right? And he said, do you really think it's wise to not know where you're going and just go? I'm like, I mean, it happened to Abram in the Bible. I mean, God said it to him. Like, I'm not comparing myself to him, but I'm just saying it happens sometimes. And you know what? It took us about 6-8 weeks, but then we found the place we were supposed to go. We walked in the door. We sat down. Before they even started doing hardly anything, we looked at each other. It was like, this is where we're supposed to be. Like, we already knew it, right? When you get there, I'll show you. It doesn't make sense to a lot of people, and obedience a lot of times doesn't make sense. Another thing, Matthew 5:10, 5-10, we're going to follow some disciples, Peter and John, right? But it's all 12 here, but Peter and John are part of that 12. So Matthew 10:5-10, the 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentile, do not enter into the city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. How many of you know we forget that sometimes? That's an aside in this, but freely you have been given. So it's freely we need to give. All right, we'll leave that part alone. You guys were grumpy on that one. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belt, nor a bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staff. For a worker is worthy of his food. A worker is worthy of his food. So Jesus sends them out to do a mission and says, don't take nothing, just go. I'm going to provide everything for you. Be like, I mean, I can't, not even a Snickers bar or something, you know, because I get hangry on the road, Jesus, you know. Like, none of that. It's just like, go, and do what I've called you to do. And when you go, I will provide for you, right? So the provision that came from them came out of what? Obedience. Of them stepping out. God, Abraham, his blessing, go, and I'll tell you when you get there, and then what'll come? I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. Doesn't make sense to go out and not take anything with you. Not make sure you have the funds to get you where you need to go, right? God sends Ananias out. And this is a bit different. Acts 9:10-12. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. He has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him that he might receive his sight. So God tells Ananias to go to this man and lay hands on him. And it's okay. This is one of the things that you see in Scripture. They always designate exactly which one it was, right? So when I'm telling the story, Wednesday night at Bible study, I was like, all right, Bill, it's your turn. Well, I have Bill O'Connell online. I have Bill Cox, my father, online. And I have Bill Crawford sitting right there in the thing. So guess what? They're all like, oh, like, wait, Bill, it's your turn. Like, we're all Bill, right? So I said, from now on, you're Crawford, you're O'Connell, and you're Papaw, right? There you go. We got it covered. So, but in the Scripture, they always designate things. You want an aside? The only one that I noticed that they don't really do that to is James. And when they say James and they don't designate who it is, guess who it is? It's the brother of Jesus, right? All the other ones, they say James, son of Alphaeus, son of Zebedee, son of all these. Anyway, go look that up. It's just a fun look up. But when he names him here, he says, go to Saul of Tarsus. Well, Saul of Tarsus is killing Christians and has a decree to be able to bring them back in chains for them to kill them, right? If he doesn't stone them. And how many of you know, at that moment, in Ananias' head, he's like, I'm not sure that makes a whole lot of sense, God, right? Are you sure this is exactly what you want me to do? Because this could really have really bad ramifications here, right? This could change everything in my life, right? But what does it say? It says he went, right? And I don't want to get into too far. I'm going to stop right there and I'm going to go on. Because he went. He was obedient. Because of it, things happen. Number two in your notes, obedience triggers opposition. Obedience triggers opposition. How many of you know we don't want to hear that? That's the bad things that obedience brings. You say, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Again, thinking this thought, if I am doing everything God has called me to do, then I am putting a target on myself for the enemy to come and attack and to keep me from doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Right? Think this thought. If I am not being attacked, if I'm not being hindered, if I'm not being slowed down, if I'm not fighting a battle, then am I doing anything for God at all with my life? Because there should be opposition in my life keeping me from doing what God wants me to do. Not from God, right? He's there. He's given me the tools, the ability, the people to surround myself with to help me get through these things. But there will be opposition that comes in Acts chapter 5. We're talking about the disciples right here. They went out. This is a different time. This is later on. This is after Jesus is gone. So it's the same people, but it's further on. Still living out the call that God had given to them. But they were taken and they were arrested. Acts 5, 17 and 18. But the high priest rose up and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them into public prison. So God, Jesus, we're doing what we're supposed to do, and because of that, we're being arrested. Because of that, they're being beaten. Because of that, they're having all these issues come to them that how many of you know, if they weren't obedient and they just stayed fishing, they probably wouldn't have those issues. Like, well, I wonder if they were ever in jail, like, darn it, we should have just stayed fishing, man. Like, that's why everybody talks about fishing being bad, I guess. I don't know, right? Everybody's like, fishing's not bad. Remember, that was last week, right? It was golf. Golf wasn't bad. Well, fishing too. Works. Anyway, it's one of those things. They because of the obedience that they had for God, opposition came in their life. They were arrested. The opposition came from outside. But again, like we said earlier, our biggest form of opposition a lot of times comes from where? Inside of us. Me. The lack of faith. The lack of God. What? First of all, we're really quick to listen to God when it's something that we want to do. Right? God spoke and this is what he said. God said this and I know it and this is what I'm going to do because this is what I want to do. But then when God speaks something that's against what we want, I mean, you know, we have a little bit harder time believing that it was God speaking. Like, I don't really think, was it? I heard you back there when you said cake is good, but up here, like, I don't know so much about that, right? He didn't say cake was good, but he didn't say it was bad in his word either, so it's okay. When, at least I got one good amen out of that one. I'm eating cake after lunch, y'all. Anyway, so the biggest form of opposition that comes in our lives a lot of time when God has called us to do something is ourselves, is our will, our pride. What about me? Well, what's going to happen to me? Well, I don't want the opposition to come out there. So if I just give into it in myself and I don't tell anybody about it, nobody really knows that I didn't do what I was supposed to do, right? I have a statement, and I have it at the end, but I'm going to do it now. So I'm going to scroll up, and then I'm going to come back down. Y'all ready? And this is hard to hear, but it's a true statement. And I'm going to use my dog to explain it in a minute, okay? Delayed obedience is still disobedience. Partial obedience is still disobedience. Think about that. So my dog Jake, trying to get him to get in his crate, right? Where am I at? I gotta come back to where I was. My dog Jake trying to get him to get in his crate. Until he stepped foot in his crate, he was walking in disobedience. Right? We don't think about that in our lives. We think, well, God, I'm still being obedient, even though I'm not doing what you've called me to do, or I'm not being who you've called me to be, or I'm doing the opposite right now because I'm in this segment, this place or this portion of my life, it's okay because, again, it's a process. How many of you know that's one of the, I wish it wasn't a process. I wish, like, we were saved and then we were just completely changed. Like, here I am. I'm new and can't nothing bother me. The problem with the process is that we become okay with the process, calling it a process. We become okay with the sin in our life, calling, well, it's a process. He's bringing me through a process. But in reality, I'm standing exactly where I want to stand and calling it a process. And the thing about it is, again, delayed obedience is still disobedience. Partial obedience. Okay, well, I'm going to take a step, but I'm going to take a step to the side, God, instead of going forward any. Right? I'm gonna lay down this thing here, but I'm going to pick this thing up to take the place of that thing there so that I'm free from that over there, but I have this now. The biggest one of the things that we get into our lives is the conflict in ourselves to be obedient. Ananias faced it as well. He ultimately went, prayed for Saul. But in verse 13 and 14 of Acts 9, but Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. And you want me to go lay hands on him in your name. Here's the dilemma. God, do I trust you? Or am I more worried about myself and the situation that I am and the contentment that I have in my home, being who I am, doing what I do, and not stepping out in what you've called me to do because of the conflict, the opposition, the issues that are going to come? Obedience brings opposition. But with the bad news comes what? The good news. It's not just the okay news. It's the good news, okay? Obedience brings blessing as well in our lives. And I'm going to use some scriptures to read it out. And of course, everybody, when they think about blessing, they think finances. And look, finances is a part of your life, right? God takes care of every aspect of your life, right? So obedience brings financial blessing in your life. According to the scripture, Malachi 3:10, you know, would a man rob God? Let me show you, prove me this day that I'll open up the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing, there'll be no more need, rebuke the devourer. There's all kinds of things that come from financial obedience and from obedience. But let me tell you something. A lot of people stop there and they think that finances equals the blessings of God. But they forget about the teachings of Jesus where he says, blessed are the poor, for they'll inherit the earth. Poor in spirit, right? But he talks about the humble. How many really rich people you know that are humble? I mean, just thought. Right? Again, is money a bad thing? No. It's like anything else. It's an inanimate object. It's what we do with what we have, whether it is good or bad, right? The blessings God gives me. God can give me a blessing and I can misuse it and it be bad for my life. But it was intended as a blessing, right? All right, I'll get off money now because y'all are getting cranky. So we'll move on to, I tell y'all I'm getting cranky because y'all are turning your head to the side and going, I love y'all. Y'all are crazy. Anyway, thank you. So, one, it brings financial blessing. Two, obedience brings freedom and miracles in our lives. It brings freedom and miracles in our lives. According to the scripture, obedience brings the Holy Spirit into our lives. And you say, well, where's that at? I'm going to get that in a minute. And now, hear me out before you start throwing songbooks. I'm glad we don't have songbooks. You can't throw them out. We do have Bibles in the pews. Don't throw them. Obedience brings salvation. You say, that's not what, according to, just let me, hear me out. Y'all ready? Genesis We're going to talk about Abram again in the scripture where 12, 2, and 3, he says, "And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." All right? Think this thought. Where did Jesus, his lineage, come from? So Abraham's obedience fell in line with the prophecies in the scripture that comes all the way down that brings salvation to you and me because of Jesus came from his obedience. Now I'm going to clarify my statement. My obedience does not bring my salvation. Okay? It's a gift. It was given to me. And that's where some people, when I said salvation, they cringe like that a little bit because they're like, that's not true. Let me just hear it out. Hear it out, right? Abram was obedient, and because of it, you and I have the gift of Jesus that came through his lineage, through the blessing that came from him. Acts chapter 5, we go back to the disciples that are put into prison, right? They're put in jail, and they're there. Why are they there? Because they were obedient to Jesus, and they're preaching the gospel, and they say, man, I don't care what's going to happen to me. I don't care what it is. This is what I'm called to do, and this is what I'm going to do. And because of it, in the middle of the night, verse 19, but during the night, the angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go, stand in the temple, and speak to people all the words of this life. And when they had heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find him in the prison. So they returned and reported, we found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the door. But when we opened it, when we opened them, we found no one inside. So the same obedience that sent them to prison opened the doors for them. Right? The same obedience. The same, hey, all right, I told you to do this, now go do it. That thing that was stopping you from doing what I've asked you to do, you were obedient to do it and it puts you here. So you know what? I'm going to open up the doors. I'm going to allow you to go back and do it in the same spot that brought you here in the first place. Now, they could have done a couple of things, right? They could have run. They could have taken off. The doors were open. We're free. Let's go preach in that town over there, right? Partial obedience, right? Let's go to the synagogue over there and preach in that one because they didn't arrest us and throw us in here yet, right? Remember, partial obedience, still disobedience, right? What did they do? They went back to the temple. They started preaching. They started preaching. They started preaching. It brings freedom. The next thing, and this is one of the things that I saw and I thought was really, really cool. Now let's go back down. Let's go back down to Ananias. Right? Brings freedom, brings healing, brings miracles. Acts 9, 17 through 19. So Ananias departed and entered the house and laid his hands on him and said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight and he arose, was baptized. Taking food, he was strengthened. The scripture says when Ananias came, he not only regained his sight, the miracle, but he also received the Holy Spirit, which gives power, which gives strength, which gives the ability to stand and do what God has called you to do in the middle of opposition. So now I'm going to go back to Peter and John. So Peter and the apostles answered. They're standing back there preaching in the temple again. So they bring them back to the court. Like, we told y'all not to do it. We actually stuck you in prison. And now you're still here doing it. Why are you doing this? What are we going to do with you? right? Because there was a big uprising of Christianity at the time, even though there was such opposition to the church, that there were a lot of people numbered as Christians, but then there were a lot of people that stood with the Orthodox way of doing things, right? The Jewish culture and not accepting Christ as Savior and not standing on opposition of that, trying to keep and divide. And they brought him and said, what are we going to do? So there was this big thought, and Peter and the apostles said this in the midst of it. When it came time for them to give their response, Peter said, we must obey God rather than man. We must obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed and hanged him on a tree. God exalted him at the right hand as leader and Savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Obedience brings the Holy Spirit into our lives. Obedience brings freedom and miracles into our lives. Obedience brings salvation into our lives. So, I'm going to read this. I was debating on whether to read this or not, but I'm going to do it anyway. There's some controversy for a man named Gamaliel, which most of you may or may not have heard of him. He was the leader of the Sanhedrin, one of the top people that's in this place that are bringing people, bringing Peter and John and the disciples to sit over them for the trial. And they're debating on what to do because of the big following that they have and wanting to do what they felt was right. But there was a big following of Christianity too that they were worried about what would happen if we do something to these men, what will go on. Again, the Jews at the time lived under Roman government, so anything they couldn't handle themselves or anything that got too big or too loud, the Romans would step in and nobody would have a good day, right? So they're like, how can we handle this situation and how can we do this without having an issue? And so Peter and the disciples have said this, and then they're conferring as to what's going on. And there's a man in there, again, the leader of the Sanhedrin, his name is Gamaliel. If you read the book of Acts, Paul talks about how he studied under this man. So this man was very well known. He was very wise. He knew the law. He knew everything about what he needed to know, as much or more than anyone else in the scriptures about what to do and what not to do. And he gave this advice at the time. And I think it's advice that we all should pay attention to in our lives, okay? He said this. He said, listen, if what's happening right now is of God, it's not of God. If it's not of God, then it will fail. Just like the guy who was here. Remember the guy who was here last week? He didn't say last week, but I forgot his name. Anyway, he's the guy that was here before. Let me look at it. It's right here. Verse 36, 536, he says, for before these days, Thaddeus rose up claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him, and he was killed, and all his followers were dispersed, and it came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in this present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. He says, but if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. And, listen, you might even find yourself opposing God. So I want to give you this advice when things are coming up and people are doing this and they're saying, God told me to do this and God told me to do that. Be careful raising your hand to whether it's of God or it's not of God, because God may have not spoken it to you, but it may be a new thing that he's doing and using them to do it. And if you oppose this, you're not opposing that person. You're opposing what God has called them to do. You're opposing God, right? So this man had some very wise counsel in this, and everyone listened to him and they let him go. But it depends on which report you listen to. The the Christian report of it is that down the road, Gamaliel, his son, and I think it was Nicodemus, maybe it was Thaddeus, one of them, was baptized by Peter and John, who stood in front of these men saying, "This is what it's all about." And this man, being in charge of all these people, heard the word. Now, it doesn't say it happened then. It doesn't say when it happened. They don't have an account of when it happened. That's why they say, well, it never happened, so he didn't do that. Then, you know, whatever. It's okay. But think this thought. Salvation came to Gamaliel, to his son, to other people, because the disciples were willing to stand and say, "I don't care what happens. I'm going to follow and do what God's called me to do." Obedience brings blessing. Not just to me. You know what? I might never see the blessing of my obedience in a certain situation, but maybe thousands of people will years from now. Right? I may never get to lead 1,000 people to Jesus. I might not. But you know what? Somebody that comes through this door may one day. We never know. We never know the impact that we have on people's lives and what God has called them to do and what they will be. Why? Because we look at them for what they are, and God sees what they can be. It's obedience brings blessing. Obedience brings blessing. Number four, obedience requires faith. And I want to take it a step further. I didn't send this on. It requires faith in action. What he talked about last week. So, Abraham had to leave everything and go to a place he had no clue where he was going. Like, do I pack a sweater or do I pack like my surf shoes? You know, like, what do I put in my bag? I don't know. Right? He had to leave and just go to this place. And when you get there, I'll tell you, you're there. Now, Genesis 12:1. Now, the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country to your kindred, to your father's house, to a land that I will show you." Ananias had to risk his life and totally depend on hearing the voice of God. So let me ask you this. If God spoke to you and told you to do something that may or may not result in your death, would you do it? Like right now, we're not called to do that. Like we're not called, if I'm at Publix and I'm like, "Jesus loves you," they're not going to kill me for it, right? But back then, you're right. You might be right. Right there by the tabloids. It doesn't bring an immediate death to me, right? But what if I was in the position of Ananias, where, what if you were in the position of Ananias where God says, "Go lay hands on this guy and accept this guy in and teach him the word of God," right? Who's killing people who teach and believe the word of God. How obedient would I be? Think that thought. How obedient would you be? Like, well, man, I would, but then my wife and my kids, they wouldn't have a dad, and, you know, Victory Church needs a pastor, you know, and everything. And so, Nick, Shane, I'm going to call on the elders of the church to go take care of this one. Right? Just kidding. Just kidding. How would I react? Would I be willing to do it? Or would I say, "You know what, on this one, I really don't know if that's your voice or not, God. Like, I think that might be, you know, the anchovies I had on my pizza yesterday talking back to me or something. Like, I don't know. I don't know that was you, God. That's of the devil right there. That's what it is," right? Why? Because it brings opposition, brings issues, brings problems. But understanding the ultimate blessing that can come because I'm just obedient to God. It requires faith. Acts 9:11. "And the Lord said to him, 'Rise and go.'" to the street called Straight, to the house of Judas, looked for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. You know what? The disciples had to give up everything and follow Jesus, right? Leave your boats, leave your stuff, leave the catch you just caught. Let's go. Come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. They're like, oh, okay, see ya. I'm gone. I'm out of here. I'm going. How many of you thought in the day of persecution, man, what if I just would have stayed fishing? I could have avoided all this stuff, right? How many times do we in the middle of our issues say, God, what if I would have just stayed in that thing and not done something? How much better off would I have been? Thinking that thought, how much would you and other people have lost by not being obedient? Right? Look at Jonah. He didn't want to go. Like, nope, I ain't going. He got to be intimate with the fish. Right? In the belly. Just hang out. What's up, guy? I know everything there is about you. When did you eat that? Right? Like all kind of stuff. He was there in the belly of the whale. Fish, whatever you want to call it. And still was brought to bring repentance to Nineveh. So think this thought. Maybe they took him so serious because his hair and his body and everything was so bleached from being in the stomach acid of the fish that they were like, dude, this dude, something happened to this dude. We're going to believe him. It might happen to us, right? Maybe that's what it was. It was so convincing. Who knows, man? God can bring good out of any situation, right? The disciples had to leave everything. And in Matthew, when we talked about it, he said, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do you know why all of these guys chose to do what they were doing, Van? You can come on back up. Do you know why all these people chose to do what they were doing? Because obedience is a matter of the heart. Our heart, our love for God, our love for people, our love for the gifts that He's given us, for the blessings that come into our lives, for the opportunities to see people's hearts and lives change, because we get to be a part of something bigger than ourselves.
Thank you, Jesus.
We're going to sing a song. That's what we're going to do. We're going to sing right now, and then I'm going to come back up, and I'm going to talk about, I'm going to give us an opportunity. What I want you to think about while we're singing this song, I want you to stand to your feet. We're going to sing. What I want you to think about is about the obedience that's in your life. I want you to think about, God, am I listening to you? Am I being used in a way? Am I allowing opposition to keep me from being who you created me and called me to be? Am I missing the blessings that you have, not for me, but for others, because I'm not being obedient? God, how can I be more obedient to you? As we sing, I want you to think about that. I'm going to come back up and talk to you guys in a minute.
Just as I am
oh.
just as I am, thou wilt receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse me, because thy promise I believe, of God I come.
I want you guys to sit back down for a minute. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to think, be honest with yourself, with me. You know what? I'm not even going to do it like that. You know whether your obedience level's where it needs to be or not. And this is the one key to everybody in the scripture that God did anything with. It didn't have to do with their abilities. Look at me. You can look at me. I made you bow your heads. I changed my mind. Don't bow your heads. Look at me. This is what it boils down to. Most of the reasons we don't do what God has called us to do is because we're not good enough. Or I don't know enough. Or I this. Or but this. And everything that God calls us to do, we can't accomplish by ourselves anyway. So instead of looking at the, I'm not good enough to step out and do this, or I can't step out and do this, or what are the consequences of stepping out and do this, the biggest thing the enemy does is put fear in our mind of what could be. What might happen. But for some reason, we allow the negative of what might happen to keep us from finding out the positive of what might happen. Maybe me going and doing something that I'm not comfortable doing or I don't feel like doing causes thousands of people to come to know He is who He is down the road. Maybe the effect of what I do this very moment, this decision, can change not only my life, but my family's life, and everyone that my family ever comes in contact with. See, because that's how it works. Peter and John never preached the gospel to me. They preached it to others, and it was passed on from person to person to person to person to person, and then came to me, right? What if you're Andrew in the story? What is Andrew known for as a disciple? The only thing he's known for as a disciple, other than being named in between them. What's he known for? He brought Peter to Jesus. So what would have happened if Andrew wouldn't have stepped out to his brother and said, man, you got to come with me. You got to see this guy. Right? What if he wouldn't have done that? God could have met him another way. He's God, right? He could have. But he chose to allow one person to step out and make a statement to someone and completely transform both of their lives and change thousands of other people's lives. The statements that we make to people when God asks us to make it, when God asks us to do something, when God asks us to stand out, is not for our benefit. And it could change thousands of lives. So think this thought. The next time something comes, the Spirit quickens to you to say something or to do something or ask somebody how their day is. You know, sometimes it's dangerous to be like, how's your day going today? Oh, that bad. Okay, well, let me go over here. Right? I'm like, I'll ask that person ever again because of what happened just then. But look, maybe that one person in the grocery store that looks sad, that looks like they're having a rough time, that you can look at and say, hey, how are you doing today? And they could be like, ugh, of all the stuff that's going wrong with them, is a good thing so that you can pray with them and say, look what God can do. And they can remember that. Right? It's uncomfortable while you're standing there and people are behind you. Right? Like, can you hurry up? I only got my two items. All y'all that were Bible study Wednesday understand about 73 items and two items. Anyway, I'll tell you that one another day. But it's one of those things that, look, he's given us the call. You say, well, I'm not called to do that. No, he's given each and every one of us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. Scripture tells us that. We're not all called to be evangelists, but we're all called to evangelize. We're all called to share what Christ has done in our hearts and in our lives and what he can do in others. Today, we're going to bow our heads right now and we're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to ask you. I'm going to let you just keep it between you and God, because that's what ultimately matters anyway. Dear Heavenly Father, man, you know our levels of obedience. You know the opposition that we're going to face by being obedient to you. You also know the blessings that are going to be put on out on not only ourselves and others, Father God. And what it takes is us to have faith in you. And you speaking to us, God, I ask that you would speak to us, each and every one of us in here. I ask that you would allow us to understand what your voice sounds like from all the other voices that are coming to us and all the other ways that we're trying to be pulled by the world, by everything that we come in contact with. I ask that you would allow us to hear your voice clearly and help us to be obedient. Help us to go. Help us not to get caught down or bogged down with what could happen or what might be. Let us look at the might be's as in that you might change somebody's life, that you might use us in any way to bring glory to your name. And I ask that you would help us with that now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. How many of you are ready to be obedient? All right, listen, we got Bible study Wednesday. We got men's breakfast coming October 10th. We got food pantry coming up the 14th and 15th. And then Dr. Steve's home group, man. Listen, if we ever do one of these again, make sure you're one of the 10 people. You won't regret it, man. I promise you. It was amazing last month. Sorry that we only have room for 10 people. I'm gonna say something. He said, hey, man, I want to do a home group. My home can only fit about 10 people. I was like, well, we can open up the church. He's like, you're missing the point of a home church. I said, a home study, a home group. I was like, you know what? You're absolutely right. So let's just do 10 people, see how it goes, right? But it's amazing. If you can be a part of it next time it rolls around, definitely do that whenever we listen. We do things so that we can have community, so that we can come together with like-minded people, so that we can be who God created us to be together. And know that we're not alone in it all. Amen? If there's anything you can do to be involved with what we do here, come. And I promise you, you'll be blessed by it. I promise you, you'll be blessed by it. With that, man, I want you guys to stand up. We're going to sing something. We got figured out. I threw a curveball on him. Sorry, y'all. We're going to stand up. We're going to sing. God, help us go out these doors. Help us be who you created us to be. Help us be obedient to you. Allow us to see you moving and working in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Let's sing.